What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to the Hattie Boydell podcast. And for those of you who are going to be seeing this on video, you can see I've got a huge smile across my face because I have got a very special human in front of me, someone who has had a huge impact on my life, who has helped me cultivate a loving relationship with myself. He's helped me shift perspective in really tough times. He's helped me soften when the world has felt really hard. And I just adore this person. I've never had a moment where I've wanted to leave. And I, you know, I'm so excited to invite him to meeting all of you. His name is Billy Telfer, or AKA Tiger and the Monk on Instagram, and the heart coach in the Sports Water Project. Billy, welcome.
Hello, Hattie.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm a little bit nervous, I've got to say. It's a funny thing sitting directly opposite someone with a lot of lights and cameras around. But outside of that, I'm very good. And I'm very honored to be here. I've said it to you a million times, right? To be in your vortex. And I knew you before I knew Hattie Boydell. Like, I met you as my neighbor and a person that I worked with. Like, this is a special human. And I felt very lucky in that time when I met you guys and, you know, Ez and Nick and everyone in Soul Train. And then, you know, just to meet you as the person and go, wow, I'm hanging out with someone like that. That's cool. And then to realize who you are, to see, or Hattie Boydell, the figure, the icon, the athlete, the businesswoman. So to be in your orbit is a gift. I feel like it's an honor. It's a pleasure, obviously, and it's a real honor as well. So thank you. Thank you for having me here. And yeah.
I'm going to tell everyone something, a little secret. Billy and I have actually recorded two podcasts in the past, but both unfortunately failed due to internet connections. And I think that's the way of, you know, the world saying, no, you got to do this together. So here we are. I couldn't miss this opportunity before I left for Melbourne for my seminar this weekend. So, Billy, there's so many – this is not going to be the first time you're on my podcast because there's so many topics that I'd love to talk to you on, but something that I feel is the first place that I want to start is, you know, I'm a big fan of the relationship with self. Actually, like, that is something that I'm forever curious about because I was so curious about my own relationship. I was so curious about my own mindset, my behaviors, my psychology. And through the years, that has helped me become curious and learn about myself. And it helped me, you know, repair so many of the, I guess, mistakes and mistrust that I had with myself. But for those of you who are listening, you might be where I was 10 years ago, or you might be on this current journey of learning to love yourself. And today I want to talk about, and I want you to share, like, your tips on how to start to create and cultivate. I love the word cultivate.
Yeah.
A loving relationship with ourselves.
Yeah. Cool. I think the first instance is that recognition that we're in relationship with ourselves. I don't know that that's obvious to everyone. It wasn't obvious to me. It wasn't obvious to me until I started meditating. And when I started meditating, I guess what it was a practice of watching, of noticing. And I'm watching how I'm responding. I'm watching what's going on inside of me. And before I was more or less ignorant to that. I'd know if something strong was there because I'd feel it. But at the time, I was partying a lot. I was training really hard. I was partying a lot and I was working really hard. And my sense of it was, as long as all these things had gone, like, as long as I'm working well enough not to get fired, that's good. As long as I'm, like, training was my big passion during the week. So as long as I'm doing that, everything's cool. And then that was it. And then I could party as hard as I could, as hard as I wanted to, and I really wanted to party hard in those times. And as long as those things were all good, I was sweet. I thought everything's great. There's nothing wrong. And I actually thought everything's as good as it can be. I thought I've kind of got this figured out. I've seen people around me stressing. I've seen people around me worrying. I'm like, man, let's have fun. Let's dance. Let's party. Let's train hard and be in our bodies. and let's work enough just not to get, basically that was it, just not to get fired, work with good people. And then I started meditating, right? And I started paying attention. And I remember noticing there's something not right. I couldn't put my finger on what it was. At the time, I'd say it's my mind. My mind is not right until Wednesday or Thursday. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? I'm about to start cranking it again on Thursday or Friday night. You feel me? And I'm like, man. And I just watched this, well, week after week, week after week, and I'm like, I've got to stop partying. Like, there's all that stuff that I was putting in my body is having a big impact on me. And I had no idea. I was completely ignorant to it. I'm like, whoa. And I thought I was real happy and positive all the time. And I realized, well, I'm kind of depressed. That's not true. I felt that there was depression in me. There was that feeling of not being as vibrant as I'd like to be. I'm like, wow. But I'd kind of just tricked myself. I was just like, on the surface, it felt like I'm okay, let's go. So that introduced me, and I can only say this reflectively. I wouldn't have been able to state this at the moment, but that introduced me that, hey, I'm in relationship to myself, meaning the things that I'm doing and the choices I'm making are having an impact with part of me. So the first step is recognizing, well, there's a me here. There's like, who am I? Am I just the things that I'm doing? And meditation said, no, you're more than that. Like, there's something inside that's responding to all the things you're doing, that's being influenced by the things you're doing. So I guess that the first recognition, the first step for people to come to is, hey, I am in relation to myself. I am a steward for this human being. I'm a custodian of what it is to be a human. And the choices I've made or the conditions that have formed me up to that moment, right, that's who I've identified with. But as soon as we realize that, well, there's something inside of us, that recognition that there is a human being, I am the steward of this. These conditions have formed me and they've shaped the things I do and the way I act and the way I speak and the things I believe in. But then when you realize that underneath that there's someone who's kind of untouched, there's a part of us inside that's kind of untouched by all that, and it's always there, but it can seem so far away for many of us because we're so deeply, I mean, I didn't even know it existed, which means it might as well not have been there for the first 28 years of my life, I guess. I mean, I guess when I was a kid, there might have been something there. But I wasn't aware of it, right? And that recognition, wow, I'm a steward. I mean, that's the word that keeps coming back, a custodian. This human is capable of so much. This mind is capable of so much. Like, it can take me to fantasy places when I'm in a dance floor and I'm partying, but it's a fantasy, right? But I had this awareness of expansiveness, but I thought that was drugs. I just thought that's what it was. It was getting as far off my head as I could that would take me to these expansive spaces, coming back to self, coming back, recognizing that the choices I'm making informing who I am, recognizing there's a bunch of choices I didn't really make that have landed me where I am, seeing the trajectory I'm on. Like, this fascinates me in that moment of my life, the trajectory. Pause, notice, whoa. And ever since that moment, I kind of remember it really vividly. I was in my barrister's chamber sitting at reception going, wow, something's happening here and I've got to pay more attention to it. And then that relationship begins. It's that, you know, and there's two aspects for mine that come out of it. It's, I need to be able to listen deeply. Most of us think about leading. When we think about our relationship with ourself, and I don't know your audience, but I'm assuming particularly people that look to you, particularly people that see Hattie, is you've done a masterful job of leading yourself. It's the art of bodybuilding. It's the art of being an athlete. That's the art of mastery of craft, is I can lead myself as a human to be a beautiful, powerful expression of that humanity, whatever that means to you.
Mm.
But to be able to listen, to be able to listen as well. And I got to say, the part of the thing that I admire about you so much is I've watched you lead so strongly.
Mm.
The way I think about it is leading courageously. And I always say that you are like a love machine, that you are just someone that's so full of love. I say you hug Hattie when she's in comp and she's hard, like you hug her and she's hard, but there's such a warmth and like not a softness, but there's such a warmth that comes out of you. You can still feel the love.
Mm.
So you do a masterful job of leading yourself courageously.
Mm.
Courageous, by that I mean you lead from your heart.
Mm.
And you're able to express that in a way that's really inspirational to so many men and women, right? But predominantly women, but men as well. But I've watched you nurture this listening relationship, noticing what it's like to tune in.
Mm.
And it's my sense of it is that's a hard thing to do when you've created such a strong identity from leadership, you know? Like your body, yourself as an athlete, yourself as a businesswoman, you know, like it's such a powerful thing.
Mm.
And it's, again, I just bow to you that you've been able to have something you're so passionate about that potentially just takes on a life of its own. And that's me. That can become you, right? Your identity is a big part of us and it informs us deeply. But the second step is, well, can I listen deeply as well? Can I tune in? Can I listen? Can I listen to my breath? Can I listen to my body? You know, can I feel?
Do you think listening comes before leading?
You know, I don't know that that's necessarily true.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like most of us need a sense of purpose and direction before we're bothered to listen.
Mm-hmm.
That now, this is just my sense of it. So I think about, I remember listening to Eckhart Tolle and all those guys. Now, I was a buffhead at this time, so forgive this, the ignorance of these thoughts, but they have informed the way I'm going to answer this question. And he's going, the power now, just be here, just be here, just be here.
Mm.
And I'm like, you are moving around the world telling people to just be here. You are actively seeking an audience to tell them to just be here.
Mm.
So you've got a strong sense of purpose. Your purpose is to tell people to just be here. Now, something happened to trigger you to just be here.
Mm.
Now, the Buddha goes around, meditate, it's all inside of you, it's all inside of you. But he moved around like that. His mission was to share that. So I think what happens is we get a sense of either purpose and direction or a sense of like calamity, a sense of despair, as in, shit, my life ain't going where I want it to go.
Mm.
I've got to start tuning in and paying attention, you know. So we're either leading ourselves in one direction, which is where we want to go, but we realize somehow through humility or just grace, something happens where like maybe I should pay more attention, or we're running into a brick wall. We're heading in a direction we don't like to go in, and we realize that we snap out of it somehow and go, shit, that's not where I want to be. So I think once that happens, then we can start perhaps listening first, but I reckon the trigger probably comes from a space of leadership in one direction or the other, particularly in these times.
There was a word that you said and it got me straight away, and it was condition.
Mm.
And, you know, I think a part, I can only speak from my experience, but for, you know, the first, I guess, half of my relationship with myself, everything was on conditions, or will I say rules. So I was governed by particular conditions, whether I would eat or not, or whether I'd be happy or not, or whether I'd love myself or not. And that was like very hard to uphold. Those conditions were very kind of ruling. And something that I realized was that if I change the conditions to be unconditional, then I give myself more of an opportunity to love all the parts of myself, rather than just only loving myself when. And you hear it all the time, I'll be happy when.
Yeah.
And that's never true, because you arrive there and you realize you want the next thing. And so happiness is not when, it is in the present moment, is I choose to be happy.
Yeah.
But I also say that happiness requires a process, because we're not going to be just happy if we're lazing on the couch all the time and not achieving anything.
Mm.
Most of us have a sense of happiness when we are doing the things we said we would do, when we they're aligning with the purpose.
Yeah.
When we have found a purpose. So I guess I want to touch on how do you, or what advice could you give to those who have conditions that they live by, that mm-hmm. they only love themselves when, or they're, yes. you know, conditioned by the rules. How can we start to kind of like acknowledge that we do that and then break them down so that we can love ourselves unconditionally, but still with like boundaries. Like we yeah. have to have, humans thrive off boundaries. Like
yeah.
you bet I'm going to wake up and I have things that need to be done, because yes. that is a sense of loving myself.
Yes.
Even on hard days when I don't feel like doing it. It's like just have some, you know, compassion is something that I say I had to learn over time. A high yeah. standard without self-compassion just to become self-bullying.
Yes.
And that's what my relationship was for a long time, till I realized I'm not actually getting where I want to go. I'm limiting myself because I'm in this box of conditions.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You said it. I mean, you answered the question. It's first of all, acknowledging that the nature of someone who's on a quest, they go, the two best moments in your life are the day you're born and the day you realize why, right? Because I've got something to aim my energy at. Now, whether or not that's true, but to get to your point, you said acknowledgement first. I recognize that I am someone who's going to always want more. I recognize that I'm someone with certain standards, and that maybe I'm scared that if I love myself, I'll let go of those standards and they'll stop drawing me forward.
That's what, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You've said that. You've said that to me, that people have said that.
Mm.
So if we can, again, this is where we want to step back and realize, well, I'm in relation to myself. Those thoughts are not me. I might be really attracted to that idea.
Mm.
No, I'm someone that's a go-getter. I need these high standards. I want to keep going. I'm not going to love myself until I get there. And like you said, there is never enough, because when we practice projecting ourselves into the future, when that future finally arrives, we don't know how to be there.
Mm.
We've just practiced forward thinking.
Mm.
Some people go, yeah, that's awesome, because then we keep growing. But are we ever likely to be fulfilled in that way? So when we acknowledge that this is upon us, we go, cool. How can I use this as a tool rather than it using me?
Mm.
So these conditions, these boundaries that I've set up, I can love myself unconditionally. I can love myself beyond all that.
Mm.
And it's the cliche that the path is the destination.
Mm.
But if I can just become deeply present, just feel into my being and go, here I am, here I am, like here we are. Now, there's part of us that wants this podcast to be the best thing ever. But if we're caught up in that part of it, we're likely to be judging ourselves.
Mm.
We can love ourselves deeply. We can become present and connect. And then we realize that, yes, I always want more.
Mm.
Can I love even that part of myself?
Mm.
Right? But can I realize that I'm never going to be perfect because I've got such high standards?
Mm.
Perfection, it's a myth, right? We've spoken about it. Perfectionism can be a really powerful thing if we are using it.
Mm.
But if it's using us,
yeah.
that's a different kind of conditioning. I am being conditioned by a thought pattern that may or may not be serving me. And if I'm scared to let that thought pattern go, then, well, let's sit with that.
Mm.
Let's slow down enough, go, well, maybe I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Mm.
Cool. Is it possible that I can be really okay with myself and actually really love myself and still have these boundaries and still have these aspirations and standards that I want to hold myself to, so that I can love who I am and love who I am becoming?
Yeah.
Right? I think that's the dance. Now, how to do that is, first of all, you've got to cultivate the will to do that.
Mm.
Like, you've got to entertain that possibility and sit with it and say, I'd like that. I'd really like to be able to love myself fully. Mm-hmm. I'd like to be able to just sit here with a friend and be completely at home or on my own. Mm. I'd just like to be able to sit and be totally at home in my body and in my mind and be at peace.
Mm.
That would be really nice. Mm. And at the same time, I'd like to have aspirations and I'd like to be a go-getter. Cool. If we can get to a point where, yes, that's actually what I want and I'm willing to do the work to do it. You feel me?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I go, yes, that's something I'd like. Well, how am I going to achieve that? And, you know, then it becomes, I mean, we can throw out ideas, but it really becomes, well, how's it showing up for you as an individual?
Yeah.
What does self-love mean to you? And does it mean going and getting a massage? Does it mean doing all these external things? Or are they triggering a certain feeling?
Mm.
And I would suggest that mostly what they're doing is triggering a certain feeling. And when we understand what those certain feelings are, then what can we do to facilitate those feelings more often?
You know what really helped me, Billy, with my relationship with myself? And actually, I was thinking about this. I think I spoke to you about this maybe last year. And, you know, we have the five love languages.
Mm-hmm.
And there's what? There's physical touch, words of affirmation, acts of service, gifts, and quality time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how do I give myself all of them? Doesn't have to be every day, but how can I show myself the way I show my partner? Like, this actually really helped me. It's like, I love my partner. I love my sister. I love my mom. Okay. I get frustrated with them, but my love for them doesn't diminish in any way.
Yes.
In fact, I'm like, oh, and then I forgive. Or we have a conversation. We hear each other's thoughts. We understand why.
Yeah.
We try not to have judgment and we wrap it up, love them, and then the next thing moves on. I was like, that's how I need to be with myself. Yeah. Like to be able to, again, it was about changing the rules. I changed the rules and the game changed. Like the way I loved myself, the way I looked at life, the way I treated myself, it all changed because I chose to change the conditions of love, right, to unconditional, but also how do I love myself the way I love my sister? How do I love myself the way I love my partner? How do I love myself was the big overarching umbrella. Yes. And what would that look like in words of affirmation?
Yes.
Touch, you know, how I touch my body.
Yes.
Acts of service, the way I treated it. Spending time on my own.
Yes.
And then what was the other one? Quality time. I can't remember what the last one is right now.
Is it something to do with listening?
Quality times, acts of service, gifts, uh-huh. Gifts, right? gifts I don't really do as much, but I guess the gift was just like actually learning to love myself. And it really played a really quite impactful, like it shifted my relationship a lot. And that's something that I always think about, like especially through tough times. It's like, we're always going to be frustrated with ourselves. Like we're never, like you can, I can say I love myself, but my God, do I have hard times in myself? My God, do I get frustrated with myself? But that doesn't diminish the love that I have.
Yeah.
And I think, and it doesn't, and the love that I have for myself isn't based off the way I look either.
Mm.
You know, and that was very, I think that's one that a lot of women struggle with. And you know, I'll say this, it's easier for me to say this because I've built a body that I love.
Yes.
But then again, strip it back, I built that through the five love languages, you know, that I repeat every single day. There is, you know, just like I said, happiness doesn't just happen. There's a process to happiness, just like there's a process to self-love in the way that there are things that you do every day that say, I love you.
Mm.
Think about your training,
mm-hmm.
you know, your meditation, your journaling, when you go down to the beach and you play your didgeridoo, the time you spend with your family, like that's you going, I am loving myself. Mm-hmm. I'm doing things that I say, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, we don't have to do them all, but for those listening, it's like, one, write down the conditions that you have for yourself that you want to change. Because if, unless you know those conditions, Billy said self-awareness is a big key, listening, okay, self-awareness, purpose, listening. You can't really change them. And the other is, what are the acts of love that you do for yourself?
Mm.
What is one that you can do daily? You don't have to do them all. That's a lot. But if there's one thing that you can do that says, I love you, even if it's an affirmation, say something nice about yourself. Congratulate yourself on an achievement that you did, or how hard you worked, or the fact that you got out of bed at 5 a.m. when you didn't want to. You saw the sunrise. You got sun. Yeah. Like, it honestly can be anything.
Yeah.
And those little pockets, I think, those glimmers, you just need to start.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I think what strikes me about what you said, Hattie, is you realized at one point, hey, I'm so capable of putting love on my partner. I'm so capable of putting love on my sister and my mum and everyone. Like anyone that knew you goes, yeah, Hattie's full of love. And this is, it seems to me this is true of women, perhaps more than men, that their capacity to love others is right there. And this is where that recognition that, hey, I'm a human too. I'm a human too. And what we often do is go, I'm a human too. Why isn't anyone else putting this on me? But it's potential that they are. It's hard to notice it all the time. But the thing is this, our circle of control. I can't control what anyone else does. If I want someone else to love me, I better start loving myself. You feel me? So it's not, again, it's that recognition. Well, I'm in relationship to myself. Let me do the things I want. And I think it's a real powerful thing to consider. What would an ideal relationship be like? The thing I play with, the idea that what I think of is imagine a friend who knows you much more intimately than anyone else, that knows your deepest, darkest secrets, friend that can read your mind and that can read your heart and that's been there with you from the jump and it's still there. She's still there with you. That's you. That's you. Right? You are aware of all the things you've done. The things that you're ashamed of, the things that go, oh, shit, I don't like that. I'm at the trajectory I was on, I look back and go, man, who was I? Like I was a person that I would have been ashamed of. But, you know, when we realize that, and I'm still here, wow, that's a true friend. That's loyalty. Now let me start to honor that relationship because we've been with each other the whole time. And now I realize that I am my guardian, and I'm at the same time myself. And we go, what is it going to be like to be a real powerful guardian of this human being? You know, and everything that's formed. Let me take the best of me, and hopefully leave the rest of me. Right, but I've been formed by conditions that were beyond my choice. You know, we grow up with parents that have their ways of living. We grow up in a culture with that way of being and all that forms who we are. And if we can realize that, wow, through all that you've got through it, you're here, what might this relationship be like moving forward? And it's you know, it's beautiful. That way you've got a guardian angel that's always there. And, yeah. And the other thing I'd say is as a parent, this has become so obvious, the idea of unconditional love. My daughter could do she could do anything and it wouldn't diminish my love for her. But I don't want her to do anything. I want her to do mad shit. I want her to, you know what I mean? Like before she could walk, I'm like, she can't walk and I really want her to walk. But I'm not going to wait till I start loving her before she, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's shitting her pants and I'm like, I got to change her nappy. Now, I still love you, but I'm hoping that you come out of
Look,
this.
She's going to be doing you a favor when you're old. She's going to be changing your diapers. You better be good to her.
But you see clearly, like, you don't have to do anything for me to love you. But I want to be your guardian. I want to be your guide. Now, at the same time, I want you to be your own person. It's such a – watching that relationship with Rose has given me a deeper insight into this language and what it's like. It's what am I doing for myself? I'm kind of doing the same thing. I want to be able to sit here and observe myself. I want to be able to sit here and observe myself and go, hey, are you thinking about what you're doing? Are you honoring who it is you want to be? And then I want to go, oh, thanks for that reminder. And now I'm here. Do you feel me?
Absolutely.
And it's the same thing. That's what I want to do with Rose. I don't want to be controlling her. I haven't got a remote control saying this is who you need to be. You know, has said it to me. I go, mate, all your kids are legends. They're beautiful people. They're happy. They're vibrant. They're good kids, man. What's the secret? He goes, just don't give them too many rules. Give them enough rules that they know what's right and wrong. Mm. Give them examples, but don't give them too many rules. Mm. Let them figure stuff out.
Give them examples.
Yeah, right. And Haz is a great example. Mm. Haz doesn't do anything he's not ashamed of, right? He's so strong in the choices he makes. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. Mm. That's the one. You do what you believe is right wholeheartedly. Now, you want to be open enough that maybe that was wrong. I can really admit that I was wrong, but let me do it wholeheartedly and be open at the same time. It's an interesting thing. It's kind of comes right back to that start of the conversation where I've got these high standards. It's this dichotomy that is the ocean.
Touch on this. I'm so glad you're going.
The island of our knowledge grows, and then the shore of our ignorance expands. That someone said that, right? As we grow into who it is we're destined to be, well, our circle of potential, our circle of ignorance, what we don't know becomes more obvious to us. Mm. And hopefully we can be open enough that we keep stepping into that. We keep stepping into that. And, you know, we keep what serves us. We let go what it doesn't. And we, you know, we stand strongly in what we know and we look straight out into everything we don't. And we're open to growing into that, growing into continuing to expand into vaster circles and ones that are more and more meaningful. It's the way I image it is like a little dot that's our heart, and we're listening to that all the time, and it expands into bigger circles. Mm. And it's not always in the same direction.
Mm.
You know, sometimes, anyway. I got way late.
I actually wanted to kind of circle back to the high standard without self-compassion just becomes bullying because, you know, I think for a lot of women, you know, they appreciate the high standard in them because it's helped them to achieve a lot of things, but it's also been pretty relentless in maybe other areas where it's like, are you enough? Is that good enough? All right, do the next thing. And it's, that maybe hasn't left any room for acknowledgement. And something that I learned this year, which I'm really grateful to, is so I started public speaking this year, big goal of mine. And, you know, the first one I did in Sydney, I said to you, like, I remember being on a call with you that morning and I was like, I'm petrified. I'm so nervous. Mm. And we came to the conclusion that it was, I'm so nervous because a high standard of me wants to do really well.
Yeah.
Now, I did that speech and most people would, outside of me would say you failed. I did it my 30-minute speech in 13 minutes. I was shaking. I can't even remember what I'd said to you. I was in such a state, like it was like black. I didn't come to the room till people started asking me questions.
Mm.
But I walked away going, I'm still really proud of myself because 99% of me was going to say, I was saying, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I can't do this. And 1% of me said, you have to.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't do it, I would have sat in, yeah, I told you, you can't do it. And so I got like a lesson that I needed.
Yeah.
I learned that I'm very much a beginner.
Yeah.
I learned that I needed to prepare myself better. But I also learned that I had a bit of compassion for myself, which probably in the past I wouldn't have had. And compassion is something that I definitely had to learn over time. And then about 2 months later, I did I spoke at an event for 2 days and I managed to speak the first day for the whole hour, the second day for 90 minutes, and I didn't need my computer because for me as a public speaker is someone that can speak.
Mm.
You know, they don't read off something. Like, sure, there were points I went back to, but – and I walked away from that weekend just like giving myself this like cosmic hug of just like, you can do it. It was like the softest like whisper, you know, greatness whispers to us, you know, fear screams.
Yeah,
and the fear on the first time round was like screaming, you can't, I can't. And I was like, the whisper was like, oh, you got to do it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so it was like a really beautiful moment to be able to acknowledge myself. And I vividly remember Tony Robbins. There were some things that I really like from his work and others I find a little bit too much, but something that he said, and it sat so well with me because I recognized that it was a lesson that I had to learn the hard way. And it was the ultimate failure is to never see your achievements. It's to never acknowledge your success.
Mm-hmm.
And for most of my career, it was like, I won the world titles. And then I said to myself, were you really good enough?
Yeah.
Did you really deserve that? Yeah. Were you really the best? And then the next year I lost it and I haven't won it since. And that was a really tough lesson for me, but I'm so humbled by it. And I'm so, it forced me to look in the direction of there's some things you need to work on.
Mm.
And I always say I learn the hard way. So I wanted to touch on high standard without self-compassion just becomes self-bullying because it's important that we have a high standard of ourselves. I love my high standards and at times she can be relentless, but I love her because does. She holds me to the fact that we're not going to be mediocre. Don't be mediocre. Don't be average.
That's right.
But you have to acknowledge the little glimmers of success that you have because it's not – we don't get to the top of the mountain leaping.
Yes.
We get it with like one step in front of the other.
Yeah.
Right? And so my question to you, Billy, is how do we develop self-compassion? What are your tips for that? What can you share?
My sense of it is there's – you got to understand that compassion – well, how do we understand compassion? Let's understand what it is rather than just jumping into it. What does it mean? Does it mean I'm gentle on myself? Does it mean that – you know, when I feel like eating a cake, I just, whatever the thing is, you know. So get clear about what it means. We go, as a working definition that I would use is, can we be with our suffering? Can we be with our suffering without being swallowed by it, right?
Listen.
And then the will and the skill to alleviate that suffering. Do you feel me? It's that empathetic part. I can be here, but I'm not going to be swallowed by it. I'm holding my suffering tenderly. And I have got the will and the skill to alleviate that suffering. Now, what that means is that you said it. What you just said, I don't want to be condescending when I say this, but for all your achievements, to me, that is your greatness now. That you are able to stand up in a room full of people, feel like you failed, like have the sense that from out there I failed, but knowing deep down, no, I needed to do that. That was a step. There's you and there's the things you do. And we want to make sure that those two things inform one another, but I've got to be able to judge the things I do without my identity being caught up in it. Otherwise, I'll never do anything awesome because every time I fail, it's going to break me and break me and break me. Eventually, I'm broken. So we come back to compassion, the high standards. Sometimes the most compassionate, remember we had that conversation. You're like, oh, I really want to do well, but I'm trying not to think about it. And it's like, no, you really want to do well. Think about what it means to really do well. What does it mean? What are these high standards calling from you to be the best? What does that mean? And you got to ask that question yourself. You got to have that conversation. You got to sit with the potential, and that can be a hard thing to do. What are these high standards? Where do they come from? Whose are they? Are they mine or are they someone else's? What is it that I want to live up to? Get really clear around those things. And then often the most compassionate thing we can do is to lead ourselves strongly, right? And then when we fail, we go, that's okay. It's okay. This sucks. This hurts. It feels like it's not okay. It's okay that it's not okay. This is part of our humanity. We know this. So this is how we practice. To sit with that, to be with that, feel, what do I need in this moment as a human? Not as a public speaker, not as the thing that I do, as me. What do I need right now? Can I offer it to myself or do I need to seek it from someone else? Okay? And then once we've done that, cool. How do I lead myself out of this space? The will and the skill. The will, I want to get out of this space because plenty of people go, no, I just want to keep feeling sorry for myself. It's not a conscious choice, but subconsciously, that's what's happening. Actually, I do want to get out of here. Cool. The skill. Why do we call it a skill? Because it's something I can constantly get better at. See, so when we realize these things, well, I can constantly get better at something, that means the path is endless.
Yeah.
And that's true of our self-development, our capacity for self-compassion and self-love, but it's true of all the things we do. When we realize this, we go, okay, cool. When are the times that I need to be gentle and soft and here? And then how quickly can I rebound from that without rushing it, but without waiting so that I can move forward, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to dwell in suffering, but I want to hold it. I want to acknowledge it. It's part of the human experience. If I'm always scared of it, I'm running away from part of myself. So I want to be able to be with that and So it's felt, so it's understood. I feel you, cool. We don't want to do that again, do we? No. You're like, I don't want to feel that way again.
Yeah.
So what might I do differently next time? Do you feel me?
I definitely had that feeling. I do not want to feel like this again.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, and I love the question, like, what do I need to do or what can I do? Yeah. What am I willing to do? And what can I do is always an action taker. And we always talk about this with coaching. It's like if we focus on what we can't do, then that's where we sit. But when we focus on what we can do, that's where we go. Because it's what can I do is like an action taker. And something that you named just earlier is, you know, are the standards yours or are they someone else's? And I think that's really important to touch on because we can get blindsided and you know, but for people pleasers, like I'm a people pleaser. Like I like people telling me I've done a good job and all those kind of things and making everyone happy and all those things, not making everyone, but contributing. But it can get overwhelming and it can also become very damaging. So we have to know what is your standard? Like what are your principles? What are your values? What is your mission? What are your standards that you want to live by and not someone else's? And because otherwise that becomes one, very confusing. And also you can't always live up to other people's expectations, but you can sure as hell practice living up to your own.
Yeah.
And then again, it is have an expectation that you can reach. Like don't have an expectation that's constantly out of reach because again, that becomes just like self-bullying to me.
Yeah. Or you've got a vision that's out of reach and you're like, you've got a vision that's just, but you've got stepping stones to get there.
Mm.
Like you think about it, the power of what you've just said to us in that story about public speaking. Here's something I did and I wasn't real happy with the way it went. Other people mightn't have said it was real happy, but I knew it was a necessary step.
Mm.
That was a necessary step and to get better. To get better, to get better, you know, to the point where, well, now I've mastered this. Now I am the vision that I imagined, but we're at the bottom of the mountain.
Mm.
When you're at the bottom of the mountain, like you said, we imagine that we want to leap.
Mm.
You know, we say it in coaching as well. You go, you want to do Hattie's programming? Start 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. You can't do that. But but here's the thing, set a goal that's taking you from where you are closer to that.
Mm.
Okay, now and then achieve that. But you've got to be you just got to be willing to do that. Yes. Okay, something that's come up, this is worth, it ties everything together in a little bit. Think about three relationships. I said before, purpose is probably the thing that's going to call you first before you start listening to yourself. I've got this purpose. I've got this person I want to be. People come into the sports models, for example. I want to look like that. I want a body like that. I want to be strong. I want to be athletic.
Mm.
Cool. And then what they realize is, oh, shit, I've got to start listening to myself. I've got to start doing. So there's the vision. How do I relate to my vision?
Mm.
How do I relate to my vision? Hopefully I relate to it a way that it inspires me, that it encourages me, that it pulls me forward, that it scares me a little bit.
Mm.
But it inspires me so much I'm willing to step into that fear. So how do we nurture that relationship first? How do I relate to my vision?
Mm.
Then we go, well, how do I relate to myself? Because I'm the one that's going to go up there. I might have a lot of help. I might have a lot of people. But I better know how to relate to myself because I'm going to be there the whole way. And then the last part is how do I relate to the path? The path is where the vision and the person meet.
Mm.
That's where they meet. And a path is the destination, what we realize. So that your path to be like a powerful speaker in front of a huge audience that's speaking without referencing a computer, that's the vision.
That's the vision.
Lighting people up, whatever it might be for you. That at the moment is likely to be out of reach.
Yep.
But you can see I'm willing to do the work to get there.
Mm.
So where's the path? And this is the beautiful thing about it. The path is I've got to get up and be shit at it first before I'm awesome at it. I want to deadlift 300 kilos. Well, I have to learn how to deadlift 40 kilos first. I'm like, no, that sucks. I don't want to do that. Okay, so you don't want it.
Yeah.
You know, how bad do you want it?
You know, actually, because we've got to wrap this call up, but I just, one thing I want to touch on, no, this is so perfect and I'm absolutely loving this conversation. You know, and this is actually something that I shared in a course yesterday, and it is, you know, people create a vision of themselves or they have a goal, but most people don't know what that cost is to achieve that goal, whether it's in time, whether it's in money, whether it's in effort, sacrifice of relationships. You know, people talk about, I don't want to miss out because my friends are doing this. You miss out on that or you miss out on your goals? Like, which one means more to you? And different times of our life, other things means more. Like my early 20s, you know, my idea of balance was party on the weekend with my friends and go to the beach, and then Monday to Friday, work as hard as I can, train the house down. That was for you. It was like, but then it gets to a point where it's like, that becomes the limitation, or my priorities change. I was like, I want to be the world champion. So therefore the weekends are out. I'm not going out. I'm recovering. Yeah. And we have this, and you have to understand, like, know what the cost is, and you have to ask yourself, am I willing to pay it? And that is, you know, something that you work with on yourself over time, because a lot of the really big grand visions that we have for ourselves, whether it's finance, business, as a maybe an athlete or an educator in the space or whatever it is that you choose to do, it's like most of the time it's not 1 year. It's not even five. Like, I've been in the industry for 16 and I feel like I'm at the bottom of another mountain, which is a really beautiful, scary and exciting place to be. Yeah. And that's not bad. And over the years, I've had to work through the relationship that I have with myself, and it's you know, it's grown a lot, and I'm so grateful. So, Billy, I'm going to have to wrap this one up. I absolutely love talking to you, and I said this is not going to be the first time. There's so many things I love to talk to you about. But where can people find you?
That's a good question. Probably the Tiger and the Monk on Instagram, and then that'll invite you to my website where you'll get an email, and we're starting to run events a little bit more. We're starting the Tiger and the Monk was just a philosophy for the longest time, and now I'm trying to make it a sharing and an offering. So best place would be to go on Instagram. From Instagram, go to the website. If you get on the emailing list through there, you'll hear about what we're up to and what we're doing. And
can people find you through meditation? Do you do meditation courses as well? Do you offer meditation?
That's what part of the Tiger and the Monk will be. Obviously, the other space would be Soul Train. Come into Soul Train and visit us in the gym. Soul Train's in Woolloomooloo. And there's going to be a lot of epic things happening there. We're building a yoga studio and a sauna and an ice bath, and then the sports model project. You know, those three spaces, I guess.
Amazing.
Thank you, Hattie.
Billy, I love you. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. Please, we'd love to hear from you. Share, like, feedback. And remember, everyone, we are born with two hands, one for helping ourselves, one for helping others. Billy, thank you so much.
Thank you, legend.
The Hattie Boydell podcast is powered by Gut Performance, my daily non-negotiable for a happy and healthy gut. Head to gutperformance.com.au and use the word Hattie for a discount.